Thank you, Thomas. Well, today is the first Sunday of Advent, and today's top Advent would be hope. And normally, and it's my fault because I thought they were here, but normally we'd have some candles that would be lit down here, and we would light the first one today, and that's what the video was right after the countdown this morning. You saw it was speaking of the hope of the coming Messiah, the coming Savior to the world, that prophecy that had been told for centuries before, that long-expected Jesus of waiting for him to come. Hopefully by next Sunday we'll have, you know, all the candles back in place and everything will be lit. So those that are wondering as well, that if you're looking online and you're going, where are the flowers centered? Well, that's because I slid them over thinking we were going to have candles on the other side and it would look more balanced. So, sorry. So they looked wonderful though. So that was my fault. But we do have the tree up, and by, you know, we'll see as the season progresses what else gets hung up, probably some wreaths and things like that. But I just love this time of year. We had a great Thanksgiving. I hope that you did as well on Thursday. I don't know about y'all. I ate too much as always. And as usual, but it was a wonderful time spending with family. And now we're into the full, you know, the official Christmas season, so to speak, unlike retail that started back in, you know, September. Again, today would be the first day of Advent, but we are continuing our series, Good News, and this morning's passage, we're going to be at John chapter 10. John chapter 10, we're going to start in verse 21. And in John, you've seen a few of these I am statements that Jesus has made. We've seen where he is living water, he is the light of the world. And today, excuse me, is another one. Today, the title of today's message is Shepherd. Shepherd. That Jesus is the Good Shepherd. And that's what he says, I am the Good Shepherd. And starting in verse 1, John chapter 10, and here's what the passage says. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have life and have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. Verse 19, therefore there was a division among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, he has a demon and he's mad. Why do you listen to him? And others said, these are not words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? If we jump to verse 27, Jesus again says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray that you just open your word to us, that you open our hearts and open our minds to receive what it is that we need to hear this morning. Lord, help us to apply it in any way we need to in our lives. Jesus, we thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Now, shepherds, back in this time, were not a well-liked group of people. Okay, and we've talked a little bit about shepherds before. I know we talked about them at Christmas, and Christmas is one of the times you usually talk about shepherds, because where did the angels first appear once Jesus was born? It was to the shepherds out in the flocks. They were some of the first ones that came to see the baby Jesus. And why would that have been weird for working folk like shepherds? Well, because shepherds were not treated well by society. They were pretty low on the totem pole. They're not quite the same as tax collectors and prostitutes, but they're pretty far down. Because nobody liked a shepherd. They lived with their sheep. They stayed out in the field all the time. Now, again, we call it a farm, but for real farmers, you'd be like, it's not a farm. So, to us, it's a farm. But we have a bunch of animals. And I can tell you one thing, if you go out long enough with our animals, especially the horses, and you start brushing them, or you ride them, or you do anything with them, you come back in and people go, "Whoo! You've been riding the horses?" Yeah. The shepherds were the same way. Shepherds begin to kind of smell like their sheep. People didn't like shepherds. So to hear Jesus say, "I am a shepherd, I am the shepherd," people are like, nobody wants the shepherd. But when you look at what he says, what he does, what the shepherd's responsibilities are, man, it's perfect for what Jesus does. And this morning, I want us to look at a couple things. First, we're going to look at the role of the shepherd. And it's one role, but it's all these different things put in there, all aspects of this. But number one, the role of the shepherd is to set the example for the sheep to follow. See, the shepherd goes in and out. He's the one that leads them and shows them where to go. He takes them in and out the door. He takes them to the pasture. He leads them where they should be. Jesus came and he set the example for us to follow. He taught us. He showed us. He gave us his word. Here's how you are to be with the world. Here's how you are to react and interact with other people. And he didn't just say it. He lived it. When Jesus says, "Forgive them that trespass against you," he did. We talked about it in youth this morning. As Jesus was being hung on a cross after being beaten, whipped within an inch of his life, nailed to a cross, he looks down at the people and says, "Father, forgive them." We have a hard time forgiving people if somebody looks at us funny. They cut us off in traffic. They say some smart aleck remark to us. We tend to hold a grudge. But Jesus, hanging there dying, says, "Forgive them." He's given us the example. He's showed us how, as we talked about the woman a couple weeks ago who was caught in the act of adultery. Sure, we have the right to stone her, to kill her for what she's done. So anyone who's not guilty, go ahead. Jesus says, "You know what? I'm not going to do it either. I forgive you. Go and sin no more." He's met needs. He's seen the needs of the people. He's healed the sick. And this, they're still talking about the man who was born blind. That's how powerful that miracle was. And it's not the greatest of the miracles that I think Jesus does. We'll meet a guy named Lazarus coming up pretty soon. I think tops being born blind. But the role of the shepherd is to set the example for the sheep to follow. Now, you could take this passage, and one thing I love about Scripture is it is so true and is so vital to so many aspects of our life. We could take this same passage and take it, and I could go to a business, a Fortune 500 company, and tell their leadership team, here's how you be good leaders. A good leader, instead of a shepherd, a good leader sets the example for his people to follow, or her people to follow, right? Nobody wants to go somewhere somebody else isn't willing to go, are they? All right, I want you to sneak over into that cave and find out what's in there. Go look, go look, go look. You're not coming with me? No, I'm going to stay here. No, I ain't going. Right? But come on, let's go. We'll go look in this cave together. Okay. I mean, how many of us kids got in trouble because somebody said, come on, let's go together and do this, right? Very rarely did I have a friend, well, I could stop there and my kids would go, yeah, poor guy. But no, very rarely did I have a friend look at me and go, hey, why don't you go do this? And I went, okay, and went and did it. No, the biggest times I got in trouble was when there was one or more that said, come on, let's go. And I went. And that's what a good leader does, is come on with me. Let's go. We'll go together. All right. To set that example. The same is true in the church. The same is true in the home. And as believers, we as believers can set an example for others to follow, can we not? Because the minute people hear we're Christians, they start going, they're watching us now. Chances are they've been watching us from before. We were watching America's Funniest Home Videos with the girls, and I'm not going to repeat what the kid said, but it was this funny video of this kid who was like, they're videotaping and they go, hey, show them how daddy plays golf. He swung the club, threw the club down and said a bad word. Because the kid watched his father. And of course, sadly, the parents thought it was hysterical. But he watched exactly what father did. I've said it before, you never know how much an example you are setting until you honk at somebody or somebody pulls out in front of you and you hear your kid say something from the back seat and you go, oh, it sounds like somebody I know. Me. Number two, the shepherd provides access to the source of life. The shepherd's job was to take the sheep out to graze in the pasture, to give them water, to take them to where the water is. Now, we've learned, we've got a couple of big horses, the boys, they are some grazing fools. And what we've learned is just even with two of them, the area they're in, we have to really supplement with hay because they can graze it off like this. Sheep can do the same thing. Herd of sheep in one area can just, and if the shepherd's not moving them around, what can happen to them? They're going to die. They need the plants, the grass to eat, to grow, to live. You got to take them by the river, take them down by the stream, let them drink, take them to the pond. But see, the shepherd has to be smart about that too, because sometimes the river gets to running a little fast, doesn't it? Maybe you've had a heavy rain. We've all seen this. House I grew up, we had, it's actually called a creek. The name of the creek was Deep Bottom Creek. It looked more like a ditch, to be honest with you, but technically it was a creek. But it started kind of over by the end of where the Walmart parking lot was. And what would always happen is in the highway is there and everything else. And what would always happen when we get this massive amount of rain, like one of those big afternoon thunder showers for, you know, an hour or two or whatever, the creek would go from this nice little 1 foot deep stream to 2 or 3 foot deep and running hard through there, trying to get out to the river. When we had hurricanes come through, the creek would actually be up about halfway in our backyard. And when you go to where the creek is, it was actually like 6 feet down the bank to the water. So it already come up 6 feet and then spread out. Now, if you're a poor little sheep and you walk out there and it's not the gentle stream, is it? It's a rushing river because of a rain shower and the little sheep puts his head down, his feet down, and where'd he go? They can get into trouble. So the shepherd has to provide access to the source of life. He has to take them to the food and the water supply. Now that's just for a regular shepherd. And we know that Jesus is the good shepherd. So what's the source of life for the good shepherd? Him. We talk about having life. There's no greater life than that of coming to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And Jesus is the source of life. He has come to provide that source, to show us that source, to give us that green pasture that only He can provide. Number three, to protect the sheep. If a shepherd didn't have any other job, this would probably be at the top of it. You can't sell sheep if they've been eaten by wolves. You can't get wool off of sheep if they've been eaten by wolves. You quickly are no longer a shepherd if all your sheep are dead, right? So what do you got to do? You got to protect them. And there's many things that come after sheep. There's wolves. You know, King David went after a bear one time. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my. But that's just the other animals. Forget thieves. Forget people sneaking in to try to take a sheep to eat it themselves, because they're hungry. Forget about disease. What if a sheep gets injured? And no offense, but sheep are not the smartest of animals. They tend to wander. They can get themselves trapped in rocks. Like I said, we've already talked about how they can get into the water. Just saw a video on television. Florida man, y'all see that? A little alligator came up, snatched his dog off the bank. Dude jumped in and grabbed the alligator. Pried that alligator's mouth open, took his puppy out. Bet that alligator didn't know what the heck was going on, did he? Like, I'm supposed to have dinner. Why has this guy got me by the head? He wasn't giving up, though. That's what a shepherd does. See, the shepherd stands between the danger and his sheep, while the others run, leaving the sheep to defend themselves. Jesus talked about the hirelings. You know, there's something about when it belongs to you and how you'll protect it versus somebody else standing there to do it, isn't there? Now, sometimes people will come along and will stand with you for a while, but when it really gets bad, I'm out. I'm done. I couldn't imagine. Big old pack of wolves come up and it's a shepherd and it's not my sheep. I'm making a nickel an hour or whatever they made as shepherds back then. Let's see. If I get in between there, chances are the wolves are going to eat me. Let them have a sheep. I'm out. I'm done. Right? Makes sense, doesn't it? Protect yourself. Isn't that what the world tells us to do? Protect yourself. Look out for number one. That's not what the shepherd does. The shepherd gets in between us. You know, we in the church, we as Christians, that's part of our job as well. People call it and it says it's us being judgmental. And in some cases, that may be how we come across. But the reality is most of the time it's not, because we're trying to be judgmental. We're not trying to be mean. We're trying to put ourselves between the danger that this world has given to you and God. We're trying to get you to the green pasture. We're trying to prevent something bad from happening to you. We do it with our children all the time. To ask my parents, can I go do this? No. You're so mean. Why won't you let me do it? I just, no. There's a reason. Half the time I didn't know what it was. You know, later down in life you figure out, okay, they were smarter than I thought they were. They knew something I didn't. They knew it was dangerous. They knew I shouldn't go. Yeah, whatever it was. They knew there was going to be something that would affect me. Number four, shepherd needs to be known by his sheep. How do you get to be known by your sheep? I was thinking about this and how the sheep know the shepherd's voice, but when a stranger comes, the sheep runs away. I was thinking about our cat, Sammy, our indoor cat. When we're home, he's all over the house. He owns the place. He just wanders wherever. But he hears somebody in a voice he doesn't know just coming up the front porch. Where'd he go? He went upstairs to his hiding place. If you put more than a couple of people he don't know, he won't come down again. Now, the only way that happens is by being around the shepherd. The only way the sheep get to know him is to be around him. Well, in some cases, the sheep have to be around. But see, God is God. God is completely and altogether separately and different than we are. Yet he has made himself known to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, through the Scriptures. We have a God that we can know. We serve a God that we can know and have a relationship with. That's what makes Christianity different than any other religion out there. It's about our relationship with the Father. It's about our relationship with the Son through the Holy Spirit. It's not some deity that's standing off that we can never get to know. We have no idea, and we can just look and go, well, his ways are mysterious. And there's things that we're never going to fully understand. But we can know the shepherd. We can learn to hear his voice, to know what he sounds like. And number five, the role of the shepherd is to sacrifice himself to save the sheep. Like I said, the shepherd will stand between the danger and his flock. He will fight to the very end, to his very last strength, to save the sheep. Jesus came as the sacrifice. So in case it was missed, let's just be clear. Jesus has said, I am the good shepherd. He's the shepherd in this scenario. Who are the sheep? And all of us. All of humanity are the sheep of Jesus. Now in this he begins, he's talking directly to Israel. To the nation of Israel. But then he mentioned there's some sheep of another flock that he has. That's the rest of us that ain't from Israel. We're the sheep. So when I say the sheep are not the smartest of creatures, I'm talking about myself. We don't know what God knows. We don't know what the shepherd knows, do we? We have some ideas. We have some truth that he's revealed to us, but we don't know every bit of it, do we? So what's our role? What's our role as sheep? Well, number one, be sheep. We have to be sheep. We can't be God. We can't be the shepherd. No sheep has ever stood up in a flock and went, I'm going to lead. And the shepherd goes, oh, okay. That only happens in cartoon movies. That's our number one job, just to be sheep. Follow the shepherd. But I don't know how many times our sheepish selves, that's hard to say, we look at the shepherd and we go, nah, we know better than he does. I got a better idea. How's that usually work out for us? We usually wind up trapped someplace hollering for the shepherd to come and save us, don't we? Number two. Listen for the shepherd's voice. We have to listen. Now, one of the things with the shepherd, they would be out and there would be sheep spread all over. And the shepherd would be standing at the high spot, kind of watching the flock. And sheep are overdoing what sheep do. They're just grazing, they're just having a good time, minding their own business. When the shepherd whistles or talks, it says, come on, whatever the command he gives to the sheep, or starts talking. At that point, the sheep, as they're eating, they go, hey, wait a minute. You ever had that moment as a kid? I don't know if you can remember back. You're out playing or what have you. Maybe it's even some place at the mall or something like that. And all of a sudden you hear that voice holler from across. And you know it's either your mom or your dad's voice. I mean, you can tell the two apart. It's either dad is calling you or mom. I could pick my mom out at the grocery store every time. Dad, he'd stand out the back door. I was out playing around the neighborhood. He'd holler out the back door. I'd be like, come running. Now, see, we have to listen for the voice of God. We have to listen to the voice of Jesus. I believe he's constantly calling us. He's constantly talking to us in some way, shape, or form. That if we just listen, we can hear. We know when it's time to move, when it's time to go, when it's time to do this, it's time to do that. When it's time to just rest. If we'll just listen to the shepherd's voice. Number three, we've got to follow the shepherd. See, sometimes we'll hear it. But we're like, I'm too happy where I am right here. I ain't going. I don't care what the shepherd says. I'm not doing that. He said, don't go this way. I'm going to go that way. He said, stay. I'm going anyway. Whatever it is. We have to follow the shepherd. Because remember, what's the shepherd want for us? Jesus wants the best for us, does he not? He has plans to prosper us. He doesn't want us to suffer. He doesn't want us to hurt. He doesn't want us to fail. Now again, our definition of these things is a little different than his sometimes. But if we're following him, we'll figure that out. If we're going where he leads, we'll know. And number four, we need to stay focused on the shepherd. We were talking about it the other day, and it kind of fits into this. We were talking about all the new modern churches that are being built. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with them. Just, have y'all noticed that none of them look like a church anymore? There used to be something about these old churches like this, that there was a reason they were built in the countryside and where they were. They usually found a higher part of the ground. There's a reason a steeple went so high. And there was a reason that on top of that steeple there was the cross. And the idea is that as you could get outside of town, you could always look back, and above the trees, you could find the cross. And if you could find the cross, you could always get home, could you not? Now, again, I know that's not how society lives today. We don't have to look for the church in the middle of town anymore. But we do need to look for Jesus. We do need to stay focused on him, to look toward his cross, to look toward him and where he's leading us. To stay on that path. There's probably 100 different analogies you could use. You could talk about your GPS and not listening to it when it says to turn here, turn there, staying focused on that. And sometimes we know that's difficult, isn't it? You know, I used to have it where when I could plug my phone in, it would actually show up on the screen in my truck. But now the little thing doesn't work on my phone anymore where I can't plug it in, I have to just have my phone. So there's a difference between a screen this size and a screen this size. And it's hard because I'm supposed to be driving and focusing, but if I need to know where to turn, I'm trying to go and take a peek, right? Luckily, technology has caught up, is now with the watch that's tagged to your phone, your wrist starts to vibrate, and then you're like freaking out. Why am I vibrating? You know? So, but you know something's coming up. But sometimes it's hard when you're trying to do one thing when life is going on, but the one that's guiding you is over here. Maybe not in a central spot to be able to be seen well. You're not paying attention. How many have heard the words redirecting? At the next available moment, do a U-turn. Whoops. We got to stay focused on Jesus. Stay focused on the shepherd. Now, there are warning signs we can recognize if we'll just watch for them. One, there's only one way. And that's Jesus. Those who try to sneak in another way, they're not the shepherds. Those who try to come a different way than what Scripture says, to try to come and lead us and take us, they're trying to take us astray. They're trying to sneak in. They're not shepherds. If what is being said doesn't sound familiar, doesn't sound right, run. Again, we were watching some show and it was talking about this cult. And we're just sitting there going, how did they fall for this? How do you not hear this and go, wait a minute. At least ask a question. But as Christians, we should know. We should know what the voice sounds like, shouldn't we? We should know what the words and the commands, the right ones are. And if it's not right, we should run. We should back away, get away. It's danger. And I'm going to tell you this. The shepherd gives. The shepherd brings life. And the shepherd restores. If whatever's coming takes and it kills and it tears down, it's not from the shepherd. We've heard in this political season that we've been going through, I'm going to restore the soul of America. I don't know about y'all, I don't want any politician messing with my soul, do you? The thief comes to steal, to kill and destroy. So if they're just taking from you, if they're trying to kill everything that you believe and hold dear and tear you down, that's not of God. Because God says, I've come to bring life, to give life, and have life what? More abundant. Now again, we have to clarify what that means. Because I think there is an abundance, a fullness of this life that we get when we follow Jesus, when we're walking with the shepherd, when we're just being happy little sheep out grazing and doing what the shepherd tells us to do and following where he goes. Life is good, is it not? This is not a case of I've come to give you life and life more abundantly, meaning I'm going to make you rich beyond measure. Because see, the shepherd also knows that if he goes and puts the sheep in a field, just lets them eat and 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 eat, what's going to happen to them? Because sometimes they won't stop. You learn this with animals. You drop a bunch of hay. We got some big bales of hay, dropped them out in our horse field. And I don't know that the horse moved for a day and a half. Maybe he did, but he stayed pretty close to that hay bale, didn't he? The only time he'd move was the other one would walk over, and they just kind of kept rotating between the two spots. Kind of like a Baptist at a buffet. I'm just kidding. No, I mean, you know how we are? Amen. I can make fun. I are one. All right, so, but that's the reality of it. I mean, you know, but God came to give us life. That means he's given us the perfect balance of what we need, what he desires for us to have. And he's going to give it abundantly. This life is going to be so blessed, but he's also talking about not just this life, but life eternal. I mean, that's what he ends this with. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And look at the promise. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Anyone. Who does that cover? Everyone. Nobody can take you out of the hand of God. Nobody can do something to you to remove you from Christ. And I would even venture to say even you can't remove yourself from Christ because you're part of the anyone. When God has you, God has you. They shall never perish. Verse 29 always said, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. Kind of reminds me of little kids, isn't it? My daddy can beat up your daddy. My daddy's bigger than your daddy. My daddy, he says, it doesn't matter who you are, king, queen, army, soldier, little God, little G God, it doesn't matter. My Father, the Father, is greater than all of them. And he can't be beat. Nobody can touch him. And Jesus said, I'm the same as him. That means nobody can touch me either unless I let them. So we have nothing to fear when we follow the Good Shepherd, do we? We're not going to be snatched away. The Shepherd is going to protect us every step. He's already laid down his life for us. We've already been saved as sheep, haven't we? He's already paid that price. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you. God, we thank you that you are the good shepherd, that you have come, that you lead us, God. That you are there to protect us, to show us the way, to bring us life. Jesus, help us to be sheep. Forgive us when we try to step out of what we're supposed to do. Help us to follow you, Jesus. And God, sometimes I know that's a tough thing to ask. Because God, we don't often understand that how a shepherd often would correct his sheep was with the staff and a quick whack to the head. But God, some of us need it sometimes. That quick corrective nudge from your Holy Spirit. If there's anyone here this morning that hasn't given their life to you, Holy Spirit, I pray that you just speak to them right now. Don't let another moment go by that they don't say yes and follow you. Jesus, we thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.